This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Let's take our Bibles and stand, or iPad, iPhone, whatever you have. I'm so thrilled that you're here today, and I'm just thrilled to get to be in church, aren't you? I'm thrilled to get to be in church. And you that are with us online, thank you so much for being with us also. I've been preaching about home for Christmas, and I want to share a message with you from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. This is what it says. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come. For unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, get this, whose goings have been from old. Actually, he's from everlasting. I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about why Bethlehem. Why Bethlehem? I remember years ago I was speaking to the children at our school, and I was teaching young boys and girls, and I said to those young students, "Students, do you know why Jesus was born in Bethlehem? Do you know?" And one little girl raised her hand. She said, "Pastor Benny, I know why he was born in Bethlehem." And I said to that little girl, I said, "Well, honey, tell the students why Jesus was born in Bethlehem." And that little girl said, "Because that's where his mother was." Well, there's some truth to that. But why was Jesus born in this little place 5 miles south of Jerusalem? This little place that actually today is controlled by the Palestinians. About 25,000 people live there. This little place, Bethlehem, it's where Ruth met Boaz. It's actually the place where David, King David, was actually born 1,000 years before Jesus Christ. It's the place that's mentioned 55 times in the Old Testament. But of all the places of the world, why did God, in his omniscience, in his sovereignty, why did he choose Bethlehem? Well, I truly believe the reason for the choice of Bethlehem had a lot to do with us. I think God is trying to give us a message with Bethlehem. I believe God wants Bethlehem to remind us of some things. Let me give you 5 things that I believe God wants Bethlehem to remind us of. Bethlehem reminds us that God keeps his promises. Bethlehem reminds us that God keeps his promises. See, Micah, he was just a minor prophet, not a major prophet, just a minor prophet. But 750 years before Christ, he said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And I want you to know something, folks. 750 years later, he was. Somebody said, "God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it." No, no, no. If God said it, that settles it, whether we believe it or not. Because, see, it's already settled. Because God said it. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10 and 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, for he is faithful that hath promised." And 2 Peter 3 and 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises." I want you to know, if God said an elephant is going to lay an egg, you can get your skillet. Reality is. Because here's what's emphatic. God keeps his promises. And let me share something. God's promised you some things this Christmas. You say, "God's promised me some things, Pastor." He sure has. What has God promised me this Christmas? I'll tell you what Christmas is about. Christmas is about God has promised you pardon. God has promised you a pardon. God has promised you forgiveness this Christmas. You know, there's a virus. There's a virus. And here's the facts. Ben Franklin said facts are stubborn things. But here's the facts. Less than a half of 1% of the people in our nation and in our world will actually die of the virus. Now, I'm not minimizing anybody that's passed. My heart goes out. But I want you to understand, less than half of 1% of the population in our nation and in our world will actually die of the virus. Hey, I've got some positive news. I try to be positive from the pulpit. And this is positive news. Nobody gets the flu anymore. Thermoflu is out of business because nobody gets the flu anymore. But wait. Just to show I'm not being facetious or sarcastic. But I heard that we have a vaccination. And I'm so grateful for the vaccination. Because that one half of 1% of the people in our world. Yeah, I mean, I'm so grateful that a vaccination. But now here's what I want you to see. There was a disease. There was a virus that 100% of us got. 100% of us got this virus and this disease. And that disease was called sin. And I want to report to you that God sent a vaccination. And the vaccination is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the vaccination for sin. See, Luke says in Luke 2 and 11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, a vaccination, Christ the Lord. See, I want you to understand something. God's not mad at you. See, many people live their life thinking God's mad at them. But I want to give you some good news. God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. He's mad about you. And he didn't come to rub your sins in. He came to rub them out. He came to rub them out. And this Christmas, what God has promised you, he's promised you a pardon. He's promised you that you can experience a vaccination. He's promised you that you can experience forgiveness this Christmas. But not only did he promise you a pardon, but Christmas is about the fact that he promised you his presence. See, look what it says. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she's going to bring forth a son, and they're going to call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Here's what I want you to see. Even in the middle of political chaos, God's with us. Even in the middle of economic crisis, God's with us. Even in the middle of a pandemic, God is with us. Even in the middle of it all, God is not going away. He is here to stay. He is here to stay because he is Emmanuel, God with us. See, folks, this Christmas, he's giving you pardon. This Christmas, he's given you his presence. But this Christmas, he's given you his protection. Look at this verse. This is one of my favorite verses. Deuteronomy 31 and 8. And the Lord, he is that doeth go before thee. He said, wait. Everything that happens to you, I want you to know I'm going to go before you. You said, Pastor, I've got apprehension about this or about that. Wait, no. You don't have to have because God's going to go before you. But he said, wait. Not only am I going to go before you, but I'm going to be with you. He said, I'm going to go before you. And he said, I just want to remind you that I'm going to be with you. But while I'm reminding you that I go before you, and while I'm reminding you that I'm going to be with you, there may be others who will fail you, but I'm never going to fail you. See, I just want to remind you that I go before you. I just want to remind you I'm with you. I want to remind you others may have failed you, but I'm not going to fail you. And I just want to remind you I'm not going to forsake you. Others may have walked out, but I'm not going to walk out. I'm going to be with you. He said, now, come up real close. I want to remind you I'm going to go before you. I'm going to remind you I'm going to be with you. I'm going to remind you I'm not going to fail you. I want to remind you I'm not going to forsake you. And he said, by the way, in light of all that, fear not. George Whitefield said it best. He said, we are immortal until our work on earth is done. Friend, you're immortal until your work on earth is done. Now listen, I don't go around licking doorknobs. But I do know this. I am immortal until my work on earth is done. And when my work on earth is done, there's not anything I can do to keep me here one moment. I'll tell you what Bethlehem does. Bethlehem reminds me that God keeps his promises. But I'll tell you something else. Bethlehem reminds me that God sees potential. See, the Bible says there in Micah 5 and 2, it said, you're least among the thousands. Why not Jerusalem? Why not Caesarea by the sea? Why not Greece? Why not Athens? Why not London? Why not Rome? Why Bethlehem, the place that's little among the thousands? Well, see, it was Bethlehem that God sends Samuel to pick the next king. You remember? Jesse sent his sons out there. I mean, they had big upper bodies, big arms, similar to what you're looking at. And you know the story. The prophet Samuel said, no, not any of these. Not any of these. And then Samuel said to Jesse, do you have anybody else? He said, there's just a runt in the field. His name's David. Go get him. You know what that tells me? Is God sees people not as they are. You said, Pastor, this addiction's control my life. But God doesn't see you as you are. God sees you as you can be. You see, no matter what label you've been given in your life, and folks, by the way, many of us have labels, but no matter what label you've been given, God sees your potential. There was a little boy that was sent home from school. True story. True story. He didn't do well in school, and I didn't do well. I was in that bottom half that made the top half possible. I remember bringing a report card home, and it wasn't good, and my mother got real upset. And my sister Rhonda said, there's a good side to this. Mama said, there's no good side. Look at his grades, D's, C's, F's. What's the good side? She said, at least we know Benny's not cheating. True story. A little boy gets sent home from school with a note, and he hands the note to his mother. And he says, Mom, what does the note say? And his mother said, the note says this. Your child is a genius. This school is too small for him and doesn't have enough good teachers to teach him. He's brilliant, but you need to teach him yourself. He smiled. He said, eventually, Mom died. I opened a desk drawer. I pulled the note out. This is what the note said. Your son's mentally ill. We won't allow him to come back to school. Do the best you can with him. And Thomas Edison's mother did her best with him because she saw potential. Let me tell you what Bethlehem reminds us. Bethlehem reminds us that God sees potential in people. He sees you not as you are. He sees you how you can become. There's a third thing I want you to see right quickly. Bethlehem reminds me that God has a plan. That God has a plan. See, the Bible says in Luke 2 and 1 that Caesar Augustus, let me tell you about this guy. He was the first emperor of Rome. The first emperor of Rome. And he sent out a decree that all the world should be taxed. Now, here's what's interesting. There was never a census before Caesar Augustus, and there was never a census after Caesar Augustus throughout the Roman Empire. You say, well, Pastor, what happened? God wanted to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. And Caesar Augustus didn't realize it, folks, but he was just clay in the hands of God. You know how to make God laugh? Tell him your plan. Here's what I want you to understand. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor the west, nor the south. But God is judge. He putteth down one, and he setteth up another. No person, no people, no situation can keep you from God's destiny. Because Bethlehem reminds me, no matter what's transpiring, no matter how many directions I get pulled, that God has a plan. Let me tell you something else that Bethlehem reminds me. Bethlehem reminds me of God's great purchase. See, when I read that verse, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, why does the Bible say Bethlehem Ephratah? Well, let me explain. During the days of Jesus, maybe you're aware, maybe you're not. I wasn't. But during the days of Jesus in Israel, there were two Bethlehems. There was a Bethlehem in the south. It was called Bethlehem Judah. And there was a Bethlehem in the north close to Nazareth. It was called Bethlehem Ephratah. So when the Bible says Jesus was born in Bethlehem Ephratah, it's there for a reason. Understand something. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. The word Ephratah means fruit of the vine. The bread and the wine. The bread and the wine. Now, I love Christmas. I love Christmas. I love everything about it. I even bought a Santa suit. I've got it. I put it on from time to time. Barbara says, if you're not going to be a good Santa until you gain some weight. But I love everything about Christmas. But I've read the Bible from cover to cover, and many of you have also. And not one time in this Bible does it tell us to remember the birth of Jesus. I've read it cover to cover. Not one time does he say, you remember the birth. Now, I'm all for the birth. I'm for opening up the presents. If you want to get me gifts, go right ahead. I'm all for it. But not one time does it say, remember the birth. But over and over it says, remember my death. That's why Bethlehem Ephratah. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, on Thursday, I'll preach at 1 o'clock. I'll preach at 3 o'clock. I'll preach at 5 o'clock. And we'll have candlelight communion, and we'll have a service in the branch, and we'll have a service at our Macon campus. We'll have candlelight communion, because not one time did he say, remember my birth. But over and over, he said, you make sure you remember my death. You make sure you commemorate my death. And that's why we want to have the Lord's Supper, and that's why we want to be in church on Christmas Eve. There's one other thing and I'm done. Bethlehem reminds me of God's great power. Bethlehem reminds me of God's great power. Isaiah said 700 years before Christ, "For unto us a child is born." That was Jesus. He was born in a manger. "For unto us a child is born." That tells us about his humanity. But notice, friend, it doesn't stop there. It says not only is a child going to be born, but a son is going to be given. Because you got to understand, Jesus didn't begin in Bethlehem. He always has been. So when the scripture says a child is born, that shows us his humanity. But when the scripture says a son is given, that shows us his divinity. "For unto us a child is born, and a son is given." And then the scripture says this, "And the government shall be upon his shoulders." Now, Trump can't put the government on his shoulders. And Biden can't put the government on his shoulders. And Obama can't put the government on his shoulders. And the Bushes could not put the government upon their shoulders. Only he could put the government upon his shoulders. Because, ladies and gentlemen, he is the government. See, he didn't need a legislative branch because he is the lawgiver. He didn't need a judicial branch because he is the judge. He does not need an executive branch because he is the king. Oh, a child's going to be born. Yes, and there's going to be a son given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Friends, with all the glitter and with all the paraphernalia and with all the decor, Christmas is still dull without Jesus Christ. And his name shall be called Wonderful, because only Jesus can take care of the dullness of your life. His name shall also be called Counselor, because only Jesus can take care of the decisions of your life. And his name shall be called Mighty God, because only Jesus can take care of the demands of life. And his name shall be called Everlasting Father, because only Jesus can take care of the dimensions of life. And his name shall be called the Prince of Peace, because only Jesus can take care of the disturbances of your life. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I read Micah 5 and 2, and it talks about him being born in Bethlehem. But it ends by saying, "Whose going forths have been from old, from everlasting." It says he was born in Bethlehem, but yet he's everlasting. That is to say, he didn't begin when the beginning began. He began the beginning. He didn't start with start. He started start. And before there was a was, he was. Maybe this song says it best. Just a young boy in the temple one day, he shared with the doctors, and they were so amazed. Never had they seen one so young, speak so swift. They asked Jesus many questions, and the conversation went like this. "What's your name, son?" "On my mother's side, it's Jesus. But on my father's side, it's Emmanuel." "How old are you, son?" "Well, on my mother's side, I'm 12 years old. But on my father's side, I've always been." "Where'd you come from, son?" On my mother's side, it's Bethlehem. But on my father's side, it's New Jerusalem. What's your plan, son? On my mother's side, I'll be crucified. But on my father's side, in 3 days, I'm going to arise and I'm going to sit down on my father's side. I'm almost done. Well, three of you want me to stay. I was reading recently about the wise men. The wise men. And they brought those gifts. And they brought that gold. And they brought that gold to say, it's only appropriate for a king. And we bring you gold because you are our king. And then they brought incense. Incense could only be used by the high priest. It was solely for worship. And they came and they said, listen, we're here to worship you. And then they brought myrrh. And myrrh was used to embalm bodies. And they said, we know you've come to die. But I want you to know, folks, that was his first coming. And there's going to be a second coming. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 60, look at this. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, as they from Sheba shall come. They're going to bring gold. They're going to bring incense. What happens, folks? When he comes back, we'll present gold and we'll say, you're the king. We'll present incense. And we'll say, only you are worthy of worship. But I noticed something. Myrrh wasn't mentioned. Myrrh wasn't mentioned. Because you come up real close. He's not coming back to die this time. Because see, this time, it's going to be different. This time, there'll be a contrast. Because the first time, it was a silent night. But the next time, it will be the shout of an archangel. The first time, it was a manger. But the next time, it will be in majesty. The first time, he came in humility. But the next time, he'll come with a host of heaven. The first time, he came to a cross. But the next time, he'll come to a coronation. The first time, he stood before Pilate. But the next time, Pilate will stand before him. The first time, he came as a lamb slain. But the next time, he'll come as Lord Sovereign, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. Bethlehem reminds me of God's great power. God said, I've got a promise for you this Christmas. No matter what you've done, I'm willing to forgive you. He said, I've got a promise for you this Christmas. Even in the middle of a pandemic, I'm with you and I will not leave you. I've got a promise before you this Christmas. I'll go before you. I'll be with you. I'll not fail you. I will not forsake you. Folks, that's reason enough right there as I'm done to stand to our feet and praise the Lord. That's reason enough right there to stand to our feet and praise the Lord.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.